John chapter number 21, verses 3 through 6. Back to Eden. In this journey called life, we all experience high points. High points are those times, those seasons in life where we smile, where things are going well. The birth of a child. Graduations, promotions, purchasing a new home, marriage. All those things that we experience in life allow us to walk away with a smile on our face. And just as we experience those seasons in life, soon comes bad times. I find it strange that we have to plan to experience good times in life. But the bad times requires no planning at all. As a matter of fact, they don't even send us a warning. They just show up. When everything is quiet, everything is going well, then all of a sudden, bad times come. None of us is above or beyond struggles in life. The Bible even declares that man born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles.
Amen.
Troubles are nothing new. The issue that we have with trouble is that trouble ought to let us know when he's coming. If he told me he was coming, I'll prepare myself. If he told me he was coming, I'll get ready. But as I am glowing in the good days, he sneaks up on me. And when he sneaks up on me, he always seems to cancel out whatever it is that brought a smile to my face. Someone said the same things that will make you laugh will make you cry.
All right.
I'm discovering that is so true. The same friendship that you have and you're going through something.
That's right.
And they are there for you and you can count on them, it makes you smile.
All right.
And then they walk out and it makes you cry.
All right.
The same friends that you have when the sun is shining and everything is okay and you love that relationship then, and then you really need them and they're not there. The same things that make you smile, make you laugh, will make you cry.
Come on, Dad. Come on.
Peter experienced high points. Well, one day he was sitting by the sea. Jesus walked by. Jesus called him, said to him, in essence, what are you doing? He says, I'm just fishing. He says, come go with me. I'll make you a fisher of men. In other words, it's not the fish in the water. I want you to be after souls. Peter jumps up because everybody at this time loved Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus has never been tried. He's never faced any resistance. So everybody loves Jesus. Peter steps up. That's much like you and I today. Where we'll come to church, love church until we test it. And when we're tested, we think something is wrong with the church. So we stop coming to church as though the church is part of the pain, where in fact the church is the solution to your problem. But you'll never know. Because you stop coming.
All right.
The moment a storm comes.
All right, now.
So Jesus called Peter and says, come with me, and I want you to be a disciple. A disciple requires discipline. It means putting something or someone under training. The more you do something, the more you get in a habit of it. And after so many days, it's just a habit. You just naturally do it. And so if you trained in a particular way while the sun is shining, when a storm comes, you should continue to do the same thing.
All right.
It amazes me when church folk go through a storm and they flip the script and do stuff totally opposite of their character, of their integrity, of who they are. If doing a particular thing brought you somewhere, don't change.
All right.
Jesus says to Peter, come on, Peter. I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. All right. So Peter comes, and Peter walked with Jesus, and Peter experienced good times with Jesus as Jesus is healing people and blessing people, restoring sight, and just casting out demons. And times are great. And then all of a sudden, some people come to Jesus and says, I understand you think that you are God. So they grab him, take him, stretch him out, hang him on a cross, and then Jesus began to look for his friends, and they're not there.
All right.
I wonder if you got some friends in your life that when you go through a stretching, when God is elevating you, and it's a little pain attached to it, that they walk out on you, and they deny you, and say, I never knew the person. We're really not friends. We just talk every now and then. We're really not that tight. I just know them through my cousins. You gotta have some folk in your life that when you are in the hospital, they'll sit right by your side. You gotta have some true friends in your life that when you're going through something, you know that they'll stick closer than a brother. That relationship can only be established with someone that is equally yoked with you. I don't know why we can't get along. It's because you know Jesus and they don't. And so your love for them is confusing because they don't understand why they act a fool, but you still forgive them. That's the love of Jesus that surpasses anybody's understanding. The love of Jesus which pushes you to go beyond. Peter says, I never knew this Jesus fella. And Jesus says, that's okay. You've denied me. I've asked you to pray. You couldn't pray 1 hour.
All right.
Just one.
One.
And so Jesus goes to the cross. Peter is left all alone. And Peter, this so-called leader of the disciples, is confused. Wonder if you ever got confused in your life. I wonder if life has ever threw to you so many distractions that you forgot your purpose. Just lost. Peter did an amazing thing. He says, I go fishing. When you get lost, you can't find your purpose. Go back to where Jesus first met you.
All right.
He says, I'm going to start all over again. Close the book, close the chapter. I failed. But thank God, the God that I serve is a God of a second chance. So I get to go back fishing all over again. Peter says, I'm going fishing. The other disciple says, I'm going with you. When he was lost, he knew if he could get back to his first love, there lies his passion. So many of us have lost our passion. When you lose your passion, you have nothing to fight for. And so God wants us to go back to our first love, find the passion, find the thing that set us on fire for him in the beginning. And when you find your passion, then he says to people, people will come.
Yeah, all right.
Peter didn't say, you guys come go with me.
Uh-huh.
Peter said, I don't care about you. I'm going back to my first love.
All right.
When you find your first love, your first love has the passion that calls you into a purpose. It unlocks the promise. It opens paradise for you. That's your Garden of Eden. When you find your passion, you find your garden. Everything else outside may be messed up, but I'm in my passion. I'm standing in my purpose, and everything can be confusing, but I'm okay because I am doing the will of God who sent me. No, I'm not concerned about what you're doing. I got to do what he called me to do. And Peter said, he called me to be a fisherman. I got to go back to fishing. I wonder how many here this morning. God called you to do something, but somebody else told you to do something else, and you're doing it, making a lot of money at it, and you're miserable.
What's he saying?
God says, find a passion. When you find a passion, it doesn't matter the scorecard. Because the truth is, the Bible declared Peter caught nothing. But that didn't discourage him. When you're doing the will of God, your scorecard is not my scorecard. You may think I'm a failure, but I know that I'm doing what God called me to do. No, I may not have as much money as you, but I'm happy doing what God called me to do. My office may not be as big as yours, but I'm happy with the little thing that God has given me, even if it is a cubicle. See, you got to do what God is calling you to do. I want to challenge you this morning to go back and find your passion. Go back and find your true love. It may not have the outcome that you desire immediately. Peter went fishing. Know how to fish? Peter had a fishing business successful before he met Jesus. Jesus called him. When Jesus called him, then all of a sudden, there he is struggling. Struggling.
Alright.
Did you ever feel like that?
Yes.
Before you became a Christian, you had it going on.
Alright now.
And then you decide to change. I'm going to follow Jesus.
Alright.
And you discover sometimes following Jesus gives you no promotion, no friends, nobody to hang out with, pure loneliness, pure hell. And you said, I better go back to the other job. And Jesus is saying, no, stay right here. I'm going to bless you. And Peter said, I don't care if I didn't catch anything. All of a sudden, Jesus showed up. When Jesus showed up, he says, hey, do you have any meat? Notice the question. Do you have any meat? Do you have any substance to what you are doing? Do you have any words? That's the meat. In the midst of going through something, if you got a word, it doesn't matter what's in your account, because he has already promised to supply all of your needs. See, when you're going through something and you got meat, you got a word, it doesn't matter what the doctor says, what your so-called friend says, because you understand, I'm standing on his word. When you find yourself standing on his word, all of a sudden Jesus shows up and Jesus says, hey guys, do you have any meat? We have nothing. Nothing. And I'm sure Jesus was saying, great. That's exactly where I want you to be. I'm talking to somebody this morning who have nothing. And Jesus is saying, that's exactly where I want you to be. Because as long as you had your something, my grace couldn't step in and do just a little bit for you. And so sometimes God will take your nothing and he'll touch it and he'll make it supernatural and he'll bless it. He'll give you a word and say, cast your net on the right side. In other words, stand in integrity. Stand on my word. And they threw the net on the right side. And all of a sudden, they didn't have room for everything that God had in store for them. I'm talking to somebody. If you'll do the right thing, just do the right thing. God says, I'll give you an overflow if you'll do the right thing. I know it doesn't look like you can get there from here, but if you'll do the right thing, he says, I'll take you back to the Garden of Eden. He says, now when you begin to go through something, it's going to look a little bit rough to you. When you begin to go through something, he says, now some of your friends are going to come, and they're going to laugh at you and say, you came back, and you still got nothing. I got nothing in my hand, but I got in my heart. I got nothing in my hand, but I got a word that I'm standing on. I got nothing in my bank account, but I got a word. And he said, he'll supply all of my needs. Every now and then, God will allow you to go through something, and he'll take your little nothing and says, that's where I need you to be, in a place where you castle out to nothing, where you understand you can't do it from here. So what I need you to do is follow my instructions. Follow my instructions.
All right, man.
Okay, God, I'm with you. What do you want me to do? And God says something that is ridiculous. Like, go back and ask for forgiveness. You talking to me? Do you know what they did to me? And you want me to go back and ask for forgiveness? Go do it. Oh, God, that don't make sense to me. He says, I know it, because my ways are not your ways. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He says, I'm beyond you. He says, in the midst of what looks like confusion, I'm under control. In the midst of what looks like a storm, he says, I got this thing, baby. Have you ever been walking with God and things got real confused? And in the midst of your confusion, God says to the sea, God says to your enemies, peace be still. And the same ones that was chasing you, now all of a sudden God used them to be a blessing for you. What God turns himself around? What God make a way out of nowhere? He says, now just stay with me. He says, I know you're going through something, and I know you haven't caught anything yet, but if you'll go back to Eden, let's go back to the promised land. Let's go back to when I first met you, when you first met me, and you were fishing, and that's all you were about, just fishing, and you met God. And God says, come on, baby, I got a plan for you. Come on, baby, I got a purpose for you. It don't look like much, but if you follow me, and you said, I'm going to follow you, God. And so God began to order your steps. As God began to order your steps, you saw him begin to make ways out of no way. You saw him begin to open doors and no man can shut. You saw him begin to heal your body. You saw him begin to put food on your table. You saw him begin to make a way. You saw him begin to return your child back to you. You saw him begin to restore a relationship. You saw him begin to turn it around. That's the God that we serve. Now he is saying, if you come back to him, let's go back. Let's go back. Come on back, baby, to your first love. Come on back. When you first met me, you were on fire for the Lord. And now distractions, rejections, naysayers have allowed you to doubt the God that created you. It seems to me that if he created me, he can fix me. It seems to me that there's nothing too hard for the God that I serve. It seems to me that God is not afraid of the little storm that I'm going through. It seems to me, if I cast all my cares upon him, he said he loved me. He said he'll be a man alive. He said he'll make a way for me. He said those things. And now what I know about God is that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man in which he shall repent. If he said it, it shall be done. He said about me, he says, you're not a victim, you're a victorious person. He said about me, I'm not the tail, I'm the head. He said to me, by his stripes, I'm healed. He said to me, And you said, that's nothing to me. I can stand on that mess. I can stand on that doubt. I can stand on that naysayer. I can stand on that hater. I can stand on that check being bounced. I can stand because I know what God said to me. He promised me. And this is not a new promise. He promised me way back in the garden. And watch this. He said it in the garden. And he said it before we were born. You got to get this. What he's saying to us is that when you were born, your way was already made. Now you don't hear me. I said your way was already made. All I need to do is just stay on the path. Now sometimes on the path, if I look to my right, I may get scared. If I look to my left and look at my so-called friend, they're afraid too. So I can't look at them. I gotta seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, knowing all else should be added to me. I'm going through something. I may have lost my job, but I'm still going through. You may not like me, but I'm still going through. You may Don't you know your daddy loves you? Your daddy, listen to this. A father has a responsibility to protect and to provide and give you provision. He'll protect you from the enemies. He'll provide all your needs. And the provisions, he says, I'll just open up the windows of heaven for you. I said, your daddy. I'm too much our father. Which are in heaven. Hallowed would be his name. On earth as it is in heaven. Don't you know in heaven at the name of Jesus, every knee bow. And here it is. We call the name of Jesus and we don't realize that the devil is running. I dare you to say Jesus and watch Satan sleep. I dare you to call me. Jesus, some stuff turn around in your life. When you going through something, just call on the name of Jesus. I don't have nothing else to say. All I need to say is Jesus. In the midst of a storm, Jesus. In the midst of a crisis, Jesus. In the midst of sickness, Jesus. And when it get really, really dark, just say, oh, Jesus. So scary. Jesus, he was there, but you had to add something to it. You just said, I feel you right now. I feel your anointing. I feel a fresh anointing. I feel the Shekinah glory. I feel the presence of God. I'm going to stay in the presence of God because I know in his presence he gives protection. Just say Jesus. Just say Jesus. Just you gotta say it like you mean it. You gotta say it like you want the devil to run. You gotta say it like you want sickness to run. You gotta say it like you want your bank account to turn. You gotta say it like you want your child to come home. You gotta say it like you mean it. You gotta say it like you want your situation to turn around. You gotta say Jesus, 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 and watch your life begin to turn around. Jesus, you do know the Jesus that you're talking about. I'm not talking about some man that was just born to a woman. I'm talking about the Son of God. I'm talking about the Lamb of God, the one that died for my sins, the one that stretched forth on an old rugged cross. Do you know that Jesus? Won't he make a way? Do you know that Jesus? Have you ever tried that Jesus? Won't he be a better life? Have you ever tried that Jesus? Won't he be a shelter? Jesus, in the time of a storm, won't he be a doctor in your sick room? I'm talking about that Jesus. That Jesus. go now and I'll die for your sins. That Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus that says, I give you power over every serpent, over every little lying thing in your life. That Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus that allows you to walk on your water. I'm talking about the Jesus that put a hands of protection around you. That Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus in the middle of the night. He'll come and he'll comfort you when all the friends walked away. I'm talking about that Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus. When the funds are low, he'll step in the bank account, switch up the numbers, and make something out of nothing. I'm talking about that Jesus. I'm talking about the Jesus. He says, don't worry about it. He says, you protected in the blood. I'm talking about that Jesus. That you drifted.
Yes. Yes. Oh, thank you, Lord God.
I know you rejected me.
Jesus.
I know you denied me.
Oh, Jesus.
He says,
Jesus.
But come on back home.
Yes. Thank you.
Back to Eden.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
You're supposed to be on top of the world.
Oh, amen.
Come on back home.
Oh, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
There you are living. Under your circumstances.
Yes.
He says,
thank you, Lord.
You're supposed to be.
Thank you, Lord.
Top.